Well, there's no title to the sermon, but it's going to be 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And in a little way of introduction, 1 John actually is a book that every time I read it seems to be an indictment in my life. But the purpose John wrote it to the church for was an encouragement, actually. He said, this is what a Christian should look like, and this is how you know that you are. It wasn't like some of Paul's letters that were, you know, get you back in line letters. John wasn't saying to these Christians that you're not this. He was saying you are this, so that's how you know. So tonight, as we look at this, I want to let you know that this is meant to be an encouragement. But if it's an indictment, then hey. You know, we need to deal with ourselves between us and God, because 1 John, like I said, I read it all the time, and it's, you know, it's an indictment in my life, but it's really supposed to be an encouragement. So let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So let's look at this. We should love one another, for love is of God. True love, the word here, the Greek word, agape, is benevolent, a benevolent love, an active goodwill, and it emanates from God. There is no love apart from God. It is from God. That's the way we know love and experience love and even give love. It emanates from God. That is because verse 8 tells us that God is love. The one who does not know love, or the one who does not love, does not know God, for God is love. God is the very definition of love, the very source, the outflowing of love. All goodness that we have in this world comes from God, including love. Love is what God is equated with. His every action is motivated out of an active goodwill toward us. The best. He has our best in mind always. That doesn't mean that everything is a good situation, but it is ultimately for our good. This does not mean that he overlooks sin either, for God is also light. 1 John 1:5 tells us, this is the message that you have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's not this mushy-gushy love that we think about, that, you know, like a grandpa that never gets on to anybody. God is love, real love, true love. Discipline is part of love. Right, you know, love doesn't just look past and let you continue in wrong. Love is sometimes hard. And that is the kind of love we're talking about. God is the ultimate expression of love. He is love. Those who love demonstrate their sonship. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If we love, it shows that we belong to God, that we are His sons, not just that we're identified with Him, but it says born of God. So love is a sign of sonship. It identifies us as belonging to the God of heaven. That is to be the marker in our lives. If one does not love as God does, then they have not come to know God at all. Verse 8 tells us, the one who does not love does not know God. Many times we've known people in our lives who say they know Christ, but there's no love in their lives at all for fellow believers. If we don't have love, we can't be assured of our salvation, because God is love. To know God is to love. So that is the identifying marker of a Christian, is love. Our love is defined by God's love. God mandated His love through the gift of His Son. He sent His only begotten Son. Verse 9 tells us, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. We know love not because of us, but because of what God has done. He sent His Son into the world for us. That's 1 John 1:9 tells us that. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We know love because God sent His Son to us. He sent His Son not because we loved Him, but because He loved us. Verse 10 tells us this. And this love, not that we loved God, not that it was us that initiated this relationship, not that we were the ones who were seeking God out, but not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Romans 5:8 tells us, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't seek after God. We didn't love Him, and He in turn loved us. We know love because He first loved. He did the work. He sent His Son, not to save people who were trying to do right. He sent His Son for sinners. We know love because God first demonstrated it to us. He sent His Son for two reasons, that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:9 tells us that He has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. It wasn't just merely for our sins to save us from our sins, but for us to live through Christ. We are no longer identified with ourselves, but we live through Christ because He's been sent, because we are identified with Him. That marker should be love, that we are in Christ, that we live through Christ. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Christ came not only to take away our sins, but to give us life. Real life. Life with hope and meaning. Not just this, as Ecclesiastes says, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. You go through the whole book, and until the end, you're just ready to say, "Oh, you're right. It's give it up." But it brings it back into the end that apart from God and worshiping Him, it's all meaningless. That's what Christ came to save us from, is this vanity of life, to take our sins and give us life through Him. And love is the marker of that life. Without love, we're not identified in Him. He also came that He would be the propitiation for our sins. That is, the appeasing sacrifice. Our sin totally has separated us from God. We are objects of wrath. But He takes the step. He stepped down out of heaven, sent His Son in an act of love to save open, defiant, rebellious sinners, and to be that propitiation for our sins, to take away our sins, but not only that, to give us life. Jesus died not just to provide forgiveness, but also new life. This is the kind of love we should have. If this is the kind of love God showed toward us, that He had active goodwill, that it was unconditional, that it wasn't that we cleaned up and got good and came to Him, that's how we should love others. We shouldn't love others just because they're lovable. We should have the kind of love God had, that we seek the goodwill for others, that we seek to be benevolent to others, and not because they can do something for us in return, or not because they're like us or look like us or smell like us, but unconditionally as Christ loved us, because we were unlovable when He stepped down out of heaven and took my place and your place on the cross. This is the kind of love we should have toward one another, where we love not because we are loved first, but as God is love, we are to be His children. That is the identifying marker, like I've said before. The identifying marker of belonging to God, who is love Himself, is to love. Luke chapter 6, verse 35 tells us, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." God isn't just good to those who bear His name. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. God is good even to evil men who seek their glory and not His. So our love should be like God. It should be freely bestowed upon all. But specifically to the brothers. If we can't love each other, we're definitely not loving the world. Love is evidence of fellowship with God. Through love, God's abiding is possible. Let's look at 1 John 4:12. It says, "No one has seen God at any time." We haven't seen Him. "If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us." His abiding is possible through love. John 1:18 tells us, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God is who is in the bosom of the Father has explained Him." We don't know God. We haven't seen Him. We have the words of Christ. We don't even have the... John was writing at a time when they had experienced Christ, seen Him in the flesh. But he was writing to people who had undoubtedly not seen Him either. But we definitely have never seen God. So love is that marker of being with Him and having an experience with Him. "However, when we keep the command to love one another, God will abide in us, and His love will be perfected in us." 1 John 4, the end of verse 12, says, if we love one another, that's a conditional statement. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. That doesn't mean that there's this formula that I do this, and God does that, has to jump through a hoop. It is more of a statement of, these things happen. They're markers in your life that show that God does abide. But you can't think that you're okay. You can't have this, basically like MacArthur says, apart from holiness, there is no assurance of your salvation. Apart from love, there is no assurance of the abiding presence of God, because God is love. And the very fact of matter, being around Him, being belonging to Him, produces the outflow of love. John, 1 John 3:24 tells us, the first part of the verse, the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. That if we keep His commandments, we know that Christ abides in us. That is what it takes to know, to have this assurance of your salvation. And as I told you before, this book was written as an encouragement to believers, as a proof of their salvation. That's what John was writing to these believers for. So he's telling them, hey, because you do this, you know that you have Christ in your life. Well, I think we can take the transverse of that side, you know, like a two-sided coin. You can look at the flip side of that coin and say, if this isn't, is that abiding there? We need to look at our lives and see if we have that abiding. We know this is true because of the Spirit which God has given us. Verse 13 says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. So the Spirit is how we know that this is true. John, 1 John 3:24, the second part of the verse says, we know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. The Spirit testifies within us. It lets us know, hey, this is right. So the Spirit lets us know by love, when we're loving, that we belong to Christ. It gives us that peace, that lasting, just abiding peace of knowing that Christ is in our life when we are loving each other. The Spirit was to remind the apostles of all that Jesus had taught. John 14:26 says, these were Jesus' words to His apostles, but the Helper, when He was promising the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. This included Jesus' teaching on how the Father and the Son would abide in them. That's through the keeping of His commandments. Jesus' words are John 14:21 and verse 23. He who has My commandments and keeps them is the one who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father. And I will love him and will disclose Myself to him. Then in between that, in verse 22, Judas asked a question about how they will know. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So the way we know that Christ is in our life, that abiding presence of God, the way it is felt, is by keeping the commandments of God, which loving each other is absolutely one of the commandments of God. This is not the only necessary requirement for God to abide in us, but it is an essential one. Without this, there will be no abiding presence. If we are not keeping God's commandments, even if we belong to God, we won't feel that abiding presence. If we're not loving each other, you can guarantee, if you're not loving other people, you can guarantee you're not going to be feeling the love of God. That's the way it works. The Scripture tells us that apart from showing love to others, you're not going to feel that abiding presence with God. The apostles have testified that the Father sent the Son to be Savior. John 4:14. We have seen and testify. This is John talking as an apostle. He says, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We must confess Jesus as the Son of God. Verse 15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. This isn't a separate idea. It's flowing all together. He's been talking about love, and now he says, confesses that he that confesses God, Christ, God abides in him. It's all part and parcel together. That you can't claim to be Christ. You can't confess Christ and not love. And you can't love and not and they're intertwined. There's no separating love for others and commitment to Christ. So they're intertwined, welded together. There's no separating them. It is inseparable that love comes with an abiding of Christ. Then when we have known and believed the love God has shown for us, manifested in the sending of His Son, that's how we know love, is that He loved us first. We are in a position to fully accept two basic principles of the gospel, that God is love, and that he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 16 says, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us." God is love. That's the second time or third time in this passage that he's made the statement again, God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We've heard this over and over again now, that to abide in God, you have to abide in love. You have to be loving to claim that you know Christ. Love provides our assurance. When love is perfected, we can have boldness. That means we can be bold in knowing that we belong to Christ when we love. It says, verse 17 says, "By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. As we grow and become more complete and mature in love, we will be able to have boldness in the day of judgment. We won't be afraid when we stand before God, because the more we become like Christ, the more we love each other, the more it is obvious that we belong to Him. People fear judgment that aren't sure which side of the fence they're standing on. But when you know what side of the fence you're on, you're not afraid of the judgment, unless you know you're on the wrong side. But people who know who they belong to don't fear. The boldness will come from knowing that as His children, we are like Him in this world. Not that we'll be perfected in glory, oh glory, hallelujah, that we'll love when we get to heaven. No, we're going to love on this earth. If we belong to Him, we should be loving on this earth. Now, the truth is that we won't be fully like Him till we see Him face to face. But as a Christian, we should be growing in love and likeness of Christ here on this earth. So that as we grow in love and love more, we become bold. We become just on fire because, hey, what is there to be afraid of? If that love is there, that's evidence of your salvation. And if you know you're saved, you know it. Not that you say you know it, but you really know it and feel that assurance of your salvation. It'll provide boldness. It'll provide boldness to go love people in the garden apartments. It'll provide the boldness to go love people at work. It'll provide boldness, dare I say it, even right here in the church. Because some of the hardest people to love in the world are in the church. So, but you know, that is the test. That is the test here. This is the assurance of our salvation, is our love. Love of our brothers is essential to loving God. They can't be separated. You can't love the Father and hate His children. So they're intertwined. To claim to love God and still hate one's brother is a lie. If you claim that, you're like those in 1 John 1:6 that say, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." To have fellowship with God while they walk in darkness, that just doesn't go. To say, "I belong to God, I'm on the narrow way," but to run down the broad path, that's not, you can't be on the broad path and the narrow way at the same time. If you belong to Christ, you are a child of the light, and you can't be in the darkness. To claim that you love one, that you love your brother, to love God and hate your brother, is also like earlier in 1 John chapter 1, those that say they haven't sinned. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Those who claim to love their brother, not to hate their brother, but love God, are those that John earlier in the book says do not keep his commandments. The one who says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 says, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So is the one who claims to love God while hating his brother. John says that they are all liars. 1 John 4, 20 says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Period. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no, well, they've got to grow a little bit. You know, No, John says, you're a liar. If you say you love God, yet hate your brother, and he's not talking about your physical brother. He's not talking about, you know, the person you grew up with in the same house. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking about those people that sit on the same pew. He may be talking about the person that took your pew this morning. We are to love our brothers. And if we don't, the word says that we're a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. So if we can't love the people that we're around every day, that we have concrete, you know, physical contact with, we can't claim to love God, who we haven't seen, who we have this spiritual relationship with. If it's not fleshed out in the physical, the spiritual isn't there either. If you want to know how somebody's spiritual life is, look and see how things are going where you can see. Now, there are a few people that can hide things and do a decent job of it, possibly. But you're guaranteed to not find somebody who's not loving, their spiritual life's not intact. Now, there may be a few people who look like they're loving people whose spiritual life are in shambles. But you can guarantee it. If somebody's not loving their brothers, if they're not loving other people, they're not in close relationship with God. I know that the further away from God I am, the more I dislike people. That it is a struggle. But to be identified with Christ is to love, and to love others, and to love our brothers. To love God, therefore, means we must develop love for the brethren. That means the people within the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why we have the commandment from Jesus in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We are called to love each other as Christ loved us. That's not an easy thing at all, because Christ bore a penalty that wasn't his. He gave up glory that belonged to him, all to show love to us. But you know, I if something's due to me, I want it. If somebody's done something and wants something that they don't deserve, I don't want to give it. But that's not how Scripture says we're to be. We're to love unconditionally the way God loved. We are to give of ourselves for others' benefit. You know, if you give something and it's an equal exchange, that's not giving. If you give something because, you know, hey, this is going to happen for me in return, that's not a loving thing. That's motivated out of self-interest. Love gives when it hurts. Love seeks others' good, not their own. Love sometimes means getting up in the middle of the night to do something for somebody when you'd rather be sleeping. Love is doing things that deny ourselves But that's what it takes to be like Christ. Indeed, Jesus taught that loving God and loving others were the two greatest commandments of the law. This isn't a new thing. It's not like, oh, the New Testament, this just happened. That's the way it's always been. Jesus said, this is how Matthew 22:35-40. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Love is not a New Testament idea. It's not something brand new. It was the law and the prophets. Out of Jesus' own mouth was built on this idea of love. If we're loving God, who is love himself, it's a natural outflowing that we are going to love others. If we're loving others, we're seeking their benefit, not our own. That is the mark of one who truly knows God. Not just Christians, but Jews under the old covenant. That was the mark of a believer then, was love. Love that drove them to seek others' benefit rather than their own. Because they had experienced the changing love of God in their lives. And that's how the life of a Christian should look. Well, the conclusion of this all is, if love is evidence of sonship, and if it's defined not by ourselves, but by what God's love is, and it's evidence that we have fellowship with God, if it's the means of providing the assurance that we need in our lives of our salvation, and it's essential to loving God, then why do we dare neglect this commandment of God? I haven't ever been part of a church where it wasn't neglected to love each other. I haven't ever in my life had to not struggle with loving others. But so many times we put that on the back burner. You know, let's be doctrinally right. Okay, yeah, that's right. Let's be doctrinally right. But good doctrine fleshes itself out. You don't have good doctrine if you're not living in love. So we don't need to put this on the back burner. Love should be the first and foremost thing. Love of God automatically flows into a love for people. No commandment of God is so important, so essential to our spiritual life as God's children as this one. Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Church, is the love that God displayed toward us through his son, Jesus, teaching us how to love one another? That's what we need to think about. We need to think each day, is God's love coming through our lives? Is his love pushing us to love others? If it's not, if it's the evidence of sonship, then we need to be thinking about our lives. And if it's there, and we just push it aside for our own self-interest, then Hebrews tells us God disciplines those whom he loves. So if you don't want the discipline of God in your life, or the need for God's discipline in your life, we want God's discipline. It's a good thing. But if we don't want to have to be disciplined as much, we need to be loving each other. Because it's how God abides, how that abiding relationship with God is practically felt. It doesn't mean that if I'm not showing love, that if I belong to Christ, well, he's just not there now. No. If I know him, he's there. If I truly belong to Christ, he's there whether I feel it or not. But practically, what John tells us is the way that we are going to feel that abiding presence of God is when we are loving each other. And apart from that, we won't know it. We won't feel it. And we won't be bold. And we won't do the things that the church should do if we're not loving each other and loving as God loves. Let's pray and then we will be dismissed. Lord, we thank you that you loved us first. Lord, that you didn't have any conditions that we had to meet. in order for you to come and take our place. Lord, I thank you that you are the definition of love. Lord, because if love was anything less than what you are, it wouldn't be worth anything. Lord, if love was defined by human standards, Lord, we would be in sad shape. But Lord, there is hope because love emanates from you and from your presence. So Lord, we pray right now that we would each look at our lives, that we would try to grow closer to you through loving others. Because Lord, you promised us that if we love each other, you will abide in us. Lord, if you're abiding, we're going to love even more. Lord, a church that loves, I would love to see what that looks like. Lord, so we just pray now, Lord, that you would move in our hearts. Turn this place into just a place where the love couldn't help but be seen. And that, as Jesus said, that people would know that we belong to him because of the way we love each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.